Praise God. Is it well with your soul this morning?
Amen.
I don't know if it really was well with my soul. I was maybe a little nervous or maybe a little until I got to be blessed by that music. So can we give the Lord a hand for that again? I know nobody in the choir wants us to clap for them. John doesn't want us to clap for them, but I want to thank God for what he's doing through our music ministry here, and to see those chairs filled up in the choir section is just amazing, and to hear the voices is even that much better. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be in the Beatitudes again. I know people are probably wanting to hear about the trip to Uganda, but with the jet lag and back to work and all the stuff, we just simply didn't have time to get everything together this week. So next week, if you want to hear about that, we're going to plan on getting together this week and preparing a presentation on all the great things that God accomplished on that Uganda trip. We were able to do everything that we had planned, and God kind of, I think he kind of laughs sometimes when we say, we're going to go do this or we're going to do that, and we were able to do even more, and even things that we didn't even think were possible, God just rolled it out for us. So it was obvious that you guys were here praying for us. We were fighting many spiritual battles while we were there. We'll probably share a little bit about that. Some stuff that people would probably think you were crazy when you come back and share. You're almost a little hesitant to share some of the things that you experience when you step out on faith. But God is good. It was an awesome trip. We made it back safely. And more importantly, we were able to glorify God in Uganda. From little, just simple people from Fork Union, Virginia, traveled across the other side of the world and made an impact for the kingdom of God. So I'm just so thankful. And so thank you for everybody who gave, who continues to give so we can go, and especially for your prayers, because it was so obvious. It was so obvious that God was answering prayers and going before us and fighting our battles. And so it was so awesome. So with that being said, we'll get started. So I know you were all blessed by the two speakers that were here when I was gone. You probably didn't want me to come back, but I'm so thankful that our sermons are recorded. So if you don't know that, I plan on this week going and listening to my brother Gary Osteen and my mentor and brother Buddy Woodson. I'm looking forward to hearing their sermons and the messages that they brought that the Lord laid on their hearts. So remember, this is available on our website. You just go to the top where it says sermons, and it's got all the sermons since we've been recording for the last year and a half or so. And on our Facebook page, Sandy Hopkins is really good at keeping those up to date. So if you miss a Sunday, you don't have to miss a Sunday. You can still hear the sermon. You can hear the message and hopefully be blessed by that. So this morning, we're going to get back into our little series we've called How to Be Blessed. If you remember, we were going through the Beatitudes. We left off 3 weeks ago in chapter 5 as we were doing this little series. And so today we're going to pick up. We left off in part 2. Today is going to be part 3 if you're a note taker. How to be blessed, right from the words of or the mouth of Jesus Christ. So let's read through the Beatitudes again. We're just going to read verses 1 through 3, what we've done so far and what we're going to talk about this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, start at verse 1. It says this. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble. Most translations say who are meek, or blesses the meek, for they will inherit the whole earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, we just thank you again, and we praise you, Lord. I praise you personally. Lord, what a privilege to be back. To be back home in the church, not the building, Lord, but the family that you have blessed me with here at Fork Union Baptist. Oh, Lord, I'm so blessed. And so, Lord, I thank you for my blessings this morning. Lord, we thank you for our blessings, and we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you gave us, Lord. You left us with a helper, an advocate. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that we would be open to receive not my words, Lord, but your words, and that you would speak to our hearts today, and that you would use your spirit and your perfect holy scriptures to transform us to be more like you. Lord, that's the ultimate goal. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we've already talked about verse 3 and 4. We've already talked about that. We've already gone through that. If you remember, we talked about what it means to be poor in the spirit, to need and to realize our need to be saved, to realize how poor we really are without Jesus Christ. And we talked about what it really means to mourn over the sin in our life and the evil things in the world that separate us from God. But today we're going to look at what Jesus says just in verse 5. And I promise we're not going to make a sermon out of every single verse in the book of Matthew, okay? But we have until the end of the world, until Jesus returns, to preach through the Bible. So whatever he lays on my heart and however long it takes for us to get through the book of Matthew, we're going to do it. And y'all have to hold me accountable that not to give up halfway through, because it's going to be a long journey. It's a lot of material. But I don't know about you, but I've been blessed by it. I've been blessed by the time that I sit down and I study and I look at each verse and what Jesus is telling us, the original transcript and what it really means when it's translated. But this is what Jesus says in verse 5. He says, "Blessed are those who are humble." The King James Version, the NIV, both use the word meek. Blessed are the meek. So Jesus says, if you want to be blessed, you must be humble. You must be meek. I don't know about you, but we've talked about it before. I want to be blessed. All right, I want to be blessed. I don't want to be somebody that's like, man, are you blessed? No, everything's bad in my life and I don't have any hope. I want to be blessed. Does anybody else want to be blessed? Well, then listen to what Jesus is telling us this morning. We could stop right here and we could say, okay, Jesus said, if you want to be blessed, be humble. All right, let's go to verse 6 and let's just see what he says about the next thing. But I don't think we should do that. Partially because I spent a lot of time studying and I have a sermon prepared for you. What does it mean when he says, blessed are those who are humble? Well, the first thing I had to do this week and what was laid on my heart is ask myself this question. What do I picture in my mind as someone who is meek? What is the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of a meek person? If you were to close your eyes and say, a meek, mild, a tender, a humble person, what do you think of? You know what I think of? Just because I'm a man and I'm filled with worldly things in my head and I'm corrupted by the world. I think of a person who never speaks up for themselves, who's kind of weak, maybe someone who's bullied, maybe they're shy, or maybe they're just a weak, small-framed person. That's the first thing that pops in my mind when I think of a meek person. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here at all. You see, to be humble and to be meek, it means to have a tender heart, to be strong, but a teachable spirit. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It actually means that you're confident, that you're strong, but you're still tender enough to be teachable, to have that teachable spirit, to realize that you don't have all the answers. Have you ever known anybody that was unteachable? Have you ever, any school teachers in here ever dealt with a kid that just did not? I was that kid, all right? But have you ever known anybody or even in your life that you try to give them advice and they don't want to hear it? They're unteachable. Or maybe you've been that person who's unteachable. This person that thinks they have all the answers. Sometimes before you're even done talking, they want to repeat back that they know best. Or they know, you're trying to give them some good advice from your experience. And before you even get done talking, they're saying, oh, no, I don't need that. I already know. I'm good. That's an unteachable spirit. Or maybe even you just try to make a simple suggestion and they cut you off with another way of thinking or something that they think is better. See, I know this type of person because all too often it's me. Just a few years ago, it might have been just a year or two ago, my wife brought it to my attention that I am this person. Hey, you know, wives are good at that. You know that? Anybody that's married? And I didn't like it at first. She said, you know, you don't realize how often you cut me off when I'm trying to tell you something. She told me, I always think that, you know, you always think you have to give me the solution to the problem before I'm even done telling you the problem. Sometimes all I want you to do is just listen to me. Just stop talking and listen. There's some marriage counseling for you guys out there, okay? I'm telling you. This is recorded, yes. Yes, we'll make sure Colonel Coggins has that. This is something I didn't want to hear. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear when we're wrong. We don't want to think that, like, oh man, I've been messing up. All the time that I've been doing this, she said, you even do it to people at church. We were at another church, and she said, people will try to tell you something, and you cut them off. And even though I try to be engaged with the conversation, she said, sometimes you just need to shut your mouth and just listen. See, I haven't mastered this yet. Some of y'all may have been victim of this, even this morning maybe. But I'm working on it by the grace of God. It's an important area that we all need to evaluate ourselves. This is one of those areas that we have to be like disciplined. I can't tell you how many times that Jenny will be telling me something, and she's telling me something, and I'll go to cut her off, and I'll go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm listening. And even sometimes she doesn't know that I'm fighting back the urge to say something because I think I know how to, and I'll just say, okay, I'm going to just listen. And things go so much better for me at home when I do that. Again, this doesn't mean that we can't ever give our opinion to have a teachable spirit. It doesn't mean that we have to be weak and be bullied. Instead, we must have all those emotions, all those abilities to want to go out and conquer the world and to help people and to do those things. But we also have to be able to control ourselves. So who are the meek? Well, I'm going to give you four characteristics of a humble, I'm going to do my best, a humble or a meek person. So what does a humble or a meek person look like? So first of all, number one is this, if you're a note taker, the person who is humble is always under control. They never just totally let loose and say, you know what, I've bit my tongue long enough, I'm going to cuss that person out. Or I'm going to go off and I'm going to tell everybody what I think of them or whatever. They never let loose their passions, their urges, their speech, their behavior, their sight, their touch, whatever it is. It's all kept under control. Romans 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says this. Don't let sin control the way that you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires in your life. Don't let the sin control you. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 says this. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. I like how he says supplement. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Boy, I fail at that all the time. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. See, the humble person, number one, is that they live a life that is disciplined and under control. They don't just go around loose-lipped and just go off on people and do what they want to do. They're disciplined. Number two, the person who is humble is simply not prideful. Okay, so this is one of the most important ones because I think it's important because I know I have to deal with it. Pride is a bad, bad thing for a Christian. It's bad for anybody, but for a believer in Jesus Christ, it is poison. This is one of the most important ones because if you think about it, pride, being prideful is actually the exact opposite of being humble, right? James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud. I don't want to be opposed by God. I don't want to be opposed by the God who spoke and all this was into existence. And so it goes on to say, but he favors the humble. So it makes sense why Jesus says, you want to be blessed, be humble, because you find favor with God. You see, a humble person will remain humble before God. They'll acknowledge their need for God's hand upon their life. Just like the psalm we read, Lord, I confess. I confess. He says, bow in here, I find my rest. Without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. You're my righteousness. You're my one defense. Lord, I need you. If we really had that in our forefront of our mind, that was really what we said every day, that's really where prayer, that's really what we spoke, that's really what we lived out, I believe we would truly experience what it means to be humble before God. A humble person acknowledges their need to be saved and to be led by God daily. And as we've already said, they also will remain humble before other people. Romans chapter 12, again, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 3. He says, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me. Even there, Paul is showing his humility. He says, not, no, listen to me because I'm so great. He says, because of what God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Whew, that hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you. Paul also says this in Philippians 2, verse 3. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. I remember preparing a sermon once and thinking of somebody in the congregation, not here, okay, I wouldn't do that here, But I remember one time preparing a message, and it was in youth ministry, and I remember thinking, oh, such and such, I hope they're here because they need to hear this. And God instantly smacked me across the face and said, you need to hear this more than they do. See, we're to think of others as better than ourselves. So a humble or a meek person will simply not be prideful. Number three, characteristic of a humble person, they will be gentle and they will not easily be provoked into anger and to other things. They will exercise self-control when dealing with other people, and they'll remain cool-headed in every situation. Now, this doesn't mean to be humble, you have to be perfect. You can't ever mess up. But you will strive for these things. You'll be even-tempered. A humble person is able to show displeasure, so they're able to say, you know what, I don't agree with that. I don't like that one bit, but they're not rude about it. They don't react impulsively. They don't take it personally. And even when they disagree, they have a soft answer to rebuke it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is Paul again. Verse 24 in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy says this, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach, and I love this, and be patient with difficult people. How do you do this? How are you supposed to deal with difficult people in your life? The best way that I've found is to realize that I am the difficult person in a lot of people's lives. And somehow they give me grace. And somehow they don't cut ties with me. They say, oh man, Anthony's difficult, but I'm still his friend and I'm going to hang out with him. And I'm going to forgive him for that. Or I'm going to look past that. So we have to remember that we are the difficult people in somebody else's life. This leads right into the fourth characteristic of a humble person. Number four is this. A humble person is someone who forgives others and doesn't seek revenge for them. He doesn't go after them and say, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to show them. A humble person realizes how many times they've done other people wrong and they were forgiven. Each time they want to hold a grudge against someone, each time I want to hold a grudge against somebody, all I have to do is recall the times that other people have forgiven me. And most importantly, a humble person will remember that God has forgiven them even when they didn't deserve it. We talked about it with the Lord's Supper. Even though we didn't deserve it, Christ gave himself for us so we could be forgiven of our sins. Paul again talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God, through Jesus Christ, has forgiven you. So when you think somebody's not worthy of your forgiveness or they need to earn your forgiveness, think about what God did for you through Jesus Christ on the cross. It'll bring you back to that place of being humbled. So there it is. I've given you a bunch of words to show you how to be humble. We could close the service, but I don't believe that gives you any, and I see John already coming for you. Yeah. We're not there yet, but listen to me. I gave you a bunch of words, a bunch of characteristics, good little points of what it looks like to be humble. But that doesn't make it any easier for us to become that humble person, any easier than it was when we walked in here. So how do we fight this pride? It's not easy. How do we fight against being proud? How do we become humble? How do we become this person? Because pride is a real struggle that we all deal with. I don't care who you are, where you come from. It may look different. It may be on different levels of pride or whatever it was. It could be because of insecurities. It could be because of cockiness or you're overconfident. It doesn't matter. We all deal with pride whether we want to admit it or not. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't deal with pride issues. Well, you're being prideful. I remember me and Corbin were talking about that one time. We said, you know, if he read a devotion on it, if you think you're not prideful, you're probably being prideful about not being prideful. We all have to deal with it. So why should we constantly battle with this part of our selfish and sinful nature? Why should we keep striving to stay humble every day if it's such a hard battle? Well, look at back at verse 5, and I want you to look at what Jesus says at the end, the promise that he gives us behind this. And I love that about Jesus because he never tells us anything. He never gives us a commandment without giving us a promise attached to it. Even when he told us at the end of Matthew 28, when he says, go to all nations,
baptize the people in the name, make disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What does he say? He says, and know this, I'll be with you to the end of the age. So why do we keep striving to stay humble in every way? What does Jesus promise the meek? What does he say? They will inherit the earth. They'll be satisfied. They'll inherit the earth. So what does Jesus mean when he says the humble or the meek will inherit earth? Well, number one, let's just look at it from this earth, from right here in this life. The humble person inherits earth here and now. It doesn't mean you're going to own the earth. It just means you're actually going to enjoy your time on earth because you have found yourself in Jesus Christ. You found who you were created to be, the new creation in Jesus Christ. Someone who is humble is comfortable with themselves. They know who they are. They know who they are. So they're confident, but they're not cocky. They're just confident in who they are in Christ, not in who they are without Christ. But they're still tender and they're still humble. They're still teachable. You see, a humble or a meek person knows where they are, and they know where they're going. They know that this world is not their home. So no matter who stands against us, they'll stand firm in the life that God has called them to through Jesus Christ. When we remain humble, we're blessed because we have nothing to prove. All the stress of trying to impress other people at church or at work or our family, all the stress of trying to impress God, oh God, look at all the good things I've done. I know I've messed up. I know I've done this. But maybe if I do enough good deeds, maybe if I donate to this, and maybe if I do that, all the stress of trying to impress ourselves, to prove to ourselves that we're worthy, it's all gone. Personally, when I found who I was in Christ, my life really began at that point. I'd already started a career. I already started a family. God had blessed me with all kinds of things. But until I gave my life to Christ and until I really surrendered, my life had not begun. I didn't have to pretend I was perfect anymore. I didn't have to try to impress people. I simply embraced the fact that, you know what? I fell short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. But guess what? I was saved by the glorious grace, by the amazing grace we sing about. I was saved. And you get to the point where you would just embrace that. I suddenly understood what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He said this. He said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. If you haven't experienced rest from Jesus Christ and just knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, this doesn't make any sense to you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. See, the meek have that peace in their souls, that rest in their souls. They carry whatever tension they're dealing with, and they carry it directly to Jesus Christ. And guess what he does? Just like he promises, he relieves it all. You want to enjoy a blessed life? Be humble. Be humble and tenderhearted. Be teachable. Now, the promise goes on. We're going to end with this. Not only will we inherit the good things of earth now, not only will we live a blessed life here on earth, but Jesus also promises that we will inherit earth eternally. But the earth that he's talking about us inheriting eternally, it's not old, broken down, sinful, corrupt, disease-stricken earth. It's a new earth. We are promised the inheritance of eternal life. The promise of being joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself. Listen to Revelations 21, 1 through 2. It says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. You see, it's easy for the humble and the meek. It's not easy for us to be humble and meek all the time. It's not easy. It's a struggle. It's a constant battle for you to remain humble. It's not easy. But is it worth it? Is it worth fighting for? Is it worth striving for? Absolutely. Jesus is telling us through these Beatitudes how to be blessed. How to be blessed now, how to be blessed for eternity. So as we close this morning, I want to tell you this. You want to be blessed? Be poor in the Spirit and realize your need for a Savior this morning. You really want to experience blessings. You want to be blessed. Mourn over the sin in your life. I mean, remember, we talked about it in Luke where the guy was beating his chest over the sin in his life. Mourn over the sin in your life, the things that separate you from God. And you want to be blessed? Be humble. Doesn't mean to be weak. Be strong in the Lord, but still be tenderhearted and be teachable. Discipline yourself to be under control at all times. Resist the nastiness of pride when it wells up from time to time. Be gentle. Don't allow yourself to be provoked. Forgive others and don't look for revenge. And when it seems too hard to walk this out in your daily life, we just remember that the promise that Jesus gave us. Not only will we enjoy life more here on earth and we remain humble, but we'll also, we have the promise of eternal life if we have accepted Jesus Christ, the free gift that he gave us, if we have made him our Lord and Savior. I don't know what stage you're at. I know we always end with a time of invitation. We always end with this, you know, we kind of wrap the sermon up with a song and all these things. But I want you to understand something this morning. We're going to sing a song that ends, and it's "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I love this line, and it says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." There's somebody here today, and I can't tell you how many times it's been me, that's going to walk out the door today after a church service, and they're going to be bearing needless pain, needless sorrow, and they forfeited it because they didn't just say, "God, I'm going to give it to you in prayer." That's what this time is for. When we're singing this song, put aside the fact we got a Super Bowl this afternoon, and you got the crock pot going at home, and just focus these last few minutes. And think about what you need to give to Jesus this morning. What is it? Maybe it's some pride issues you need to get rid of. You need to pray about it. Let's do it now. Let's pray about it. You can pray where you are. You can pray at the altar. You can come up to the front and hit your knees and pray, whatever it is. If God is calling you this morning, maybe you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. Maybe you want to join the church. Whatever it is, don't leave until it's finished here today. Amen? If God is calling you, whatever it is, come as we sing hymn number 182. What a Friend We Have in Jesus.